And welcome to Monday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. He is Paul Dottino. I'm Lance Meadow with you for the next 60 minutes as we'll get you set for the Eagles game coming up this weekend. As the Giants are back from the bye, Ben McAdoo and Jerry Reese spoke earlier to the media, so we will get into some of the topics that were raised. A lot to delve into in the next 60 minutes. Your phone calls at 201-939-4513. Tweets, hashtag Giants Chat. Paul, I'm glad to see that you survived the bye. I know we were all very concerned, but you're back up and running.
I could not take any more bye week. I was so done with the bye week. I could not wait to get down to the facility this morning. I am done. Bye week over. Rest over. Let's go.
Now, you did get the Nike runs in, though. That's important to know.
I got a lot of miles in.
Okay.
Got a lot of miles in.
Now, in terms of what Ben McAdoo and Jerry Reese had to say, let's get into that before we look ahead to the Eagles and get to the phone calls and the tweets. Injury-wise, everybody pretty much was on the field today for practice. Marshall Newhouse was a bit limited, but Darian Thompson, Nat Burhe, they were all out there, Paul. I mean, this team is as close to 100% now coming out of the bye, which is an extreme positive.
Yes, Odell Beckham limited also by that hip pointer that's lingered with him, but Coach McAdoo did not have anybody listed as out today at practice, and so that's certainly a good sign. Now, he did say we're going to wait and see how these guys feel tomorrow after doing some work today. It was a light practice, folks. Let's not make any mistake about it. But nonetheless, going into Wednesday, that's when they're really going to start to find out who may or may not be available for the Eagles game. And then, of course, after working out then, they're going to go later in the week and then ultimately decide probably on Saturday or Sunday. But it does appear like they're on the right track in terms of getting most of these guys back, if not all of them.
And in terms of the formalities, like you said, Wednesday is when the Eagles and the Giants are going to release the actual injury report.
Correct.
We'll have a better idea
Correct.
In terms of how both teams look. But a positive that the faces that had been sidelined for the weeks leading up to the bye are at least back out there.
It's always good when you go out to practice and everybody's got a jersey on, and even if they're on the side with the trainers, as Beckham was earlier in the practice session and Marshall Newhouse was, it's always good to at least see them out there. Whenever a guy is not out on the practice field and he's inside the facility, that means he's not good enough to come out. You know, he's getting extra treatment and they're trying to get him ready as soon as they can. That's usually like step one. Okay, is he out on the field, at least in visual eye contact? Can you see the guy out there? That's a good sign. And then from there, it progresses.
And we were able to see all of those players on the sideline or at least on the field today. So that was obviously, as we mentioned, a big step moving forward for the Giants. In terms of outlook, both Jerry Reese and Ben McAdoo were asked about things that the Giants need to improve upon in these final nine games. The running game was clearly a big topic of discussion, and Ben McAdoo made it clear, like every team does, Paul, during the bye week, it's the self-scout. The coaches, the players, but mainly the coaches, you look at your first seven games and you say, okay, here's the things that are working, here's the things that we need to tweak, here's maybe certain personnel groupings we want to build upon, players that we want to give more opportunities, such as a Jarrell Adams and a Paul Perkins who were brought up. Ben McAdoo said he's liked what he's seen from special teams. They may grow into bigger roles moving forward, but you know, these were the types of things that the Giants coaching staff was focusing on.
Well, you know, I think the one thing that we all agree about is that this offense, which is averaging more than a touchdown less than what it averaged last year, needs to be jump-started somehow, some way. And you could talk all you want about how teams are treating the Giants schematically, and in some cases, it's just that they have to execute better. You know, there's no question about that. Players have to make more plays. In all the games the Giants have won, they made more plays than the other team. And in the games they lost, they flat out didn't make the plays. This is not exactly rocket science. You know what I mean? But at the same time, there's no question. The Giants do have to figure out, is there some things that they can do schematically to help themselves? Are there maybe lineup changes that they need to execute to perhaps help themselves? Look, I don't want to get anybody on the edge of their seats, but Jerry Reese did say there were some conversations about trades. The trade deadline is tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern time. He did say there were phone calls and there were conversations had, but usually things don't work out, and so you never can tell. He wouldn't tip his hand as to who they were talking to or what they were talking about, but at least he said there were some conversations. So for all of you out there who think that the Giants are not doing their due diligence, you're incorrect. They are actively in the waters. Whether or not they get fish, I can't tell you that.
Of course, and you only hear about it when trades are announced. You don't know the conversations that occur or the close ones that maybe just fall short. He did say, though, that the chatter wasn't necessarily any different in terms of volume this year compared to what he's dealt with in previous years. Another thing to note in terms of the trade deadline and clearly the offensive line, there's been a lot of speculation in Rumorville with respect to that. He was asked about Ereck Flowers, his development, said that he's now has a season and a half under his belt. And when he was asked about, you know, how they view Ereck Flowers at the left tackle position moving forward, Paul, he said, right now, Ereck Flowers is our left tackle. That was his exact quote.
That's at about 1 o'clock this afternoon.
Correct, yes. Well, already you're reading into that, I can see.
Always subject to change.
Yeah.
And look, that's the honest and truthful answer, and it happens to be accurate as well. Until something happens, it doesn't change. If something does happen that forces you to make a change or prompts you to make a change, well, that's for tomorrow or for another day. I will say this. I don't think there's any question that the Giants, at least my opinion, is that they really do believe they've got enough talent on this roster to compete realistically for a playoff spot. I believe that they believe that. Unlike maybe in prior years where you looked at the team and even mid-season at the trade deadline, you looked at it and you said, look, you're going to need a lot of help. You're going to need a lot of dominoes to fall the right way for you to be in the playoff conversation. I don't sense that this year. I really don't. I sense like the Giants believe they belong in that conversation and they've got enough bodies to make that happen. It's simply a matter of play better. And you know what? They've got 4 wins so far. We'll see.
Play better in terms of specifically the offense, which is what Jerry Reese focused on, because he did say, you know, based on the moves that he made this offseason, he says that the defense has flashed from what he's seen. Mm-hmm. He thinks that this has the shaping of a very strong, solid defense, but it's the offense that needs to meet them halfway in terms of putting more points on the board and executing in the red zone specifically, which to me has been a statistic that has been extremely troublesome since week one. When they went 3-for-3 in the red zone, from that point on, the percentage has not been very good. They're moving the football, Paul, but what good is moving the football if you can't punch it in?
And that goes back to the run game.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Let's not kid ourselves. That is still the issue that needs to be jump-started. And I would say this to any fan out there who wants to try to help the Giants fix this situation. If I were to ask you what would be the one thing that you would change about the running game, well, I don't know that there are any other running backs available in the trade market that's going to be better than what you have. I don't think there are any running backs on the street that are better than what you have. I think these are the running backs you're going to have to go to war with.
I would agree with you.
And so these are the guys. So that's not going to change. Offensive line, well, there are rumors that there are offensive linemen available. You want to try to make a deal there? If you think that you can make one happen at a reasonable price, maybe that's an option, okay? Other than that, look, I know some folks want to change the lineup, but you know what? The last 2 games, the offensive line, even though they're not getting a lot of yards on the ground, they're pass protecting well enough for Eli to win games. So do you really want to change the lineup? Do you really want to pull Bobby Hart out or Flowers out or, you know, throw Will Beatty in? You know, after the Green Bay game, a lot of folks wanted to know where's Will Beatty? Well, I got that. But the last 2 weeks, pass protection was enough to win. So do you really want to change the lineup? So I don't know that that's an option.
Well, you've heard this time and time again. I'm never a fan of the game of musical chairs when it comes to the offensive line. And I sound like a broken record. I use that term because continuity is important. And you can't necessarily rush to judgment after 1 game. I think you got to look at it big picture perspective, because you brought up a good point, Paul. If you watch the Giants offensive line against the Packers, and that was the only game you watched this season, you'd probably say to yourself, there's issues here. There's big problems.
Then
you see the next 2 games and you see, okay, now we've got a bigger sample size. Okay, pass protection improved. Run blocking, though, is still an area that has to improve. So you get mixed results as you move forward with the 2 games after the Packers, as opposed to if you just look at the Packers game in a bubble, I think it misleads you in certain facets of this offensive line.
Look at it this way, folks. There's no such thing as a perfect team in the NFL anymore. In fact, I don't even know who the elite teams are. I guess the Patriots are elite because look what they've done
in the National Football League.
You know, so every team is sitting here right now, and they're saying there's a half a season to go, and they've all got a list of things they want to fix. And some teams probably say, oh, I don't know if we can fix that because we don't have enough guys. Or we don't have enough guys coming back from the injured list that are going to help us out. And we got ourselves a bit of a problem because we're just going to have to just suck it up and do what we can to try to compete. I think there are certainly a group of teams like that. I mean, look at the Cleveland Browns. Cleveland Browns pretty much know they're not making the playoffs. So now it's just
it's gonna be tough.
Play for pride and see what you can do about building a team for next season. All right? The Giants are one of those teams that at 4-3, above 500, right in the middle of a playoff race in the NFC, they got to be thinking, okay, you know what? We're good enough to be in this race till the end. Is there some kind of tweak that we can maybe make, or do we really believe that we have enough right here to make it happen? At least they're in a situation where they're not looking to rebuild or looking toward next year like maybe some teams are.
Well, especially when you have a guy like Eli Manning under center. I mean, the window here now is to obviously win and take advantage, especially after an aggressive offseason.
35 years old.
You have to take that into consideration. Jerry Reese, by the way, was asked about Eli Manning's outlook, and he said, hey, we're not thinking that this is the end of the road. We think he's got a few more good years where he's going to play competitive football, and that window is not necessarily shrinking. Because he was asked about, are they thinking about looking at other quarterbacks, weighing their options in future drafts here and there?
Well, you tell me. You've watched Eli as I have. He's coming off two of the best seasons of his career, and even though the offense has had some troubles this year, I look at Eli Manning and I don't see him hobbling around. I don't see him holding his wing because he's not able to get the ball 60 yards downfield on a bomb. I don't see any of that. Physically, I see no reason to think that Eli Manning is going downhill.
No, not at all. I mean, listen, if Tom Brady is talking about playing into the mid-40s and then some, and you look at these guys who have held up, and Eli Manning and durability are synonymous with one another, Paul. Now, knock on wood when I say that.
Sure.
But, I mean, that to me is sometimes an overlooked stat, and that's a stat. If you stay on the field.
Not by me.
Well, durability to me is an important
part of football. It's part of what makes a player truly great.
And if you can stay on the field, then you're helping your team. As opposed to if you're in the tub and you're on the sideline, you're not necessarily doing anything to help your team. So a quarterback in this day and age where it's such a physical game, and think about all the other star quarterbacks, whether it be a Phillip Rivers, a Drew Brees,
ask the Steelers how they feel about Big Ben right now.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So I think you have to take that into consideration, Eli Manning's durability. That doesn't mean that you don't look at the numbers and the efficiency, but the durability is a key part of evaluating any position in the National Football League. Can a player stay on the field? Before we get back to the phone lines at 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants chat, I want to piggyback off of something that you alluded to earlier. When you look at the Giants, okay, they're 4-3, the division outlook now, the wild card outlook coming out of the bye. Interesting what transpired with the NFC East, Paul, yesterday. You had the Cowboys and the Eagles go to overtime. Dallas won that. Dak Prescott connecting with Jason Witten after they decided to go for it on 4th-and-1, pass on the field goal, and that paid off. So the Cowboys continuing this winning streak since losing to the Giants in Week 1. The Eagles are now tied with the Giants at 4-3. Big game coming up this Sunday at MetLife Stadium.
Doubt.
And the
Huge.
Redskins play into a tie with the Bengals, so they're 4-3-1. Three NFC East teams, both games go to overtime. Some wacky developments out of that. But, you know, you see how this division is closely bunched together, with the exception of the Cowboys, who have a two-game lead. But we know that could change over the course of a week or two. You know, the Giants are very much in the hunt for the playoffs. Whether you want to look at it from a divisional standpoint, from a wild card standpoint, they have their opportunity out in front of them, Paul. But I said this last year, and I'll say this every single year. You as a team cannot go into the 9-game stretch upcoming and say to yourself, we have to worry about this team beating this team. The Giants control their own destiny. Will they take advantage of their opportunity? That's the big question that remains in these final 9 games.
Well, for those of you who are not looking at the standings, at 4-3, if the season did end today, the Giants would be in the playoffs.
Well,
Just so you know. But the truth of the matter is, there is so much more football to be played.
Of course.
And it really starts on Sunday against the Philadelphia Eagles, because this is one of those teams that you're right there in the mix with. Now, the Giants already lost that game to the Packers earlier this year. That's going to be a problem in the wild card race.
Tiebreaker-wise.
Don't kid yourself. The Packers are going to be in the race, and that loss in Green Bay is going to hurt this team. Now, the question is it going to hurt their seed, or is it going to keep them home? I don't know the answer to that. But
too early to tell with respect to that. But the head-to-head matchups with teams that are in the same boat as you, they could come back to bite you.
And that makes this game against Philly triply more important, not just double, but triply more important, especially with Dallas now two games in front in the division. I don't think you ever concede anything at the midpoint of the season. But clearly, Dallas has got a great leg up on winning the NFC East. But what we now know is that it is very possible that a wild card is coming out of the NFC East, and I don't think anybody thought that over the summer. They looked at this division, and they said, you know, it's really in flux. The NFC East is going to get a division champion, and that's it. Well, the way things have shaken down through the first half of the season, it's now quite clear to me that there could be a second playoff team out of the NFC East. So even if you believe that Dallas is going to win it, you have to also believe the Giants have a chance to get in.
I think the NFC East and the NFC North right now look like the two divisions that are in a prime position to have two representatives. And the reason I say that, if you look at the NFC West right now, Paul, you know, other than Seattle, Arizona has had its fair share of issues. You know, they also have a tie. The Niners, we know they're well out of it, and the Rams have been very up and down over the last few years. And then the NFC South, Carolina's having a down year. So it would make sense that the NFC East and the NFC North are in a position to have two representatives. With that being said, you know, as we look ahead to the final nine games, and the emphasis is always, Paul, on the divisional games, and it should be, you got a game against the Lions, which I think is also going to be big. Remember, Detroit right now is 4-4. You know, they're very much in the hunt, too, for the wild
Again,
card.
Don't even think about the divisional games, Lance. You have to think about the conference games. You have to think about the bigger picture because of the way that this wild card thing is starting to take shape, and that's why the Packer game is bad for the Giants. But the Rams game is good because they've got four losses. If you think the Rams are going to be in it, I don't. But that's
but it a, helps to win
it helps
a game
to win
in the
that
conference,
game.
Though, regardless.
And the Saints win. Over you know, the Giants beating the Saints.
That's another big one.
That's another big one now because they're in that pool of quicksand as well.
Yeah.
So, hey, it starts with Philly.
Well, that's why I was going to say, though, upcoming at least out of the division, that Lions game. And then, you know, even though the Bears are mathematically out of it, those are the next two.
Yeah.
Chicago and Detroit, who you have in the upcoming nine. You know, not that Pittsburgh and Cleveland's not important, but conference games are of priority.
Three home games. Two conference games to come, and then after that, the short two-game road trip where you go out to the Steel City and you go to Cleveland and you make that little trek out there to Ohio and western Pennsylvania. But bottom line for the Giants, and I hate to use that word must, but my goodness, got to take care of business against the Eagles on Sunday because the implications with this thing packed so tight are so far-reaching and so critical. You really cannot afford to lose this game Sunday.
201-939-4513. That is the telephone number. He is Paul Dottino. I'm Lance Meadow. So glad you could spend part of your Monday with us here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. We did get started a little bit later than usual because of the pressers and the media availability today, but we will be with you here taking your phone calls as well as getting to your tweets at hashtag Giants Chat. Let's open up the phone lines as we look ahead to the Eagles, talk about the bye week, what Ben McAdoo and Jerry Reese had to say, and boy, aren't we lucky. Charlie in Portland, Maine gets us started on Monday's edition.
He's number one?
He's number one, unfortunately, yes.
He wasn't right.
And this has got a Halloween theme to it, this open, which I think is appropriate for the first caller of the program. Charlie, the floor is all yours.
All right. This is Count Chuck Dracula here.
Oh, wonderful.
Hey. Hey, I heard they asked Jerry Reed, is he going to make the team better before the trade deadline? And I guess this is what he said.
He's got sound effects now. Oh, Charlie, you really have had too much time on your hands during the bye week, apparently.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Yes, moving along.
Hey, it's Halloween, right?
Indeed it is.
Indeed.
Hey, I hope. I mean, Paul, you were talking about it. Look, the only way you're going to get to run the ball is you've got to change this offensive lineup because these guys, these five guys, cannot run the ball against a good team. I mean, maybe they can do it against the second and third string Dallas defensive line that we had on week one, but and unless they do something on this O-line, we're going to be a one-dimensional team, and that's going to limit us to be able to make the playoffs. We're never going to make the playoffs if Eli's just throwing the ball, you know, 90% of the time. It's just not going to work. So I'm hoping, I mean, there's rumors that, you know, they're interested in possibly Joe Thomas, And a second-round pick, to me, would be a steal for a Pro Bowl left tackle. Then you can move Flowers to the right side where he should be. And look, I mean, the Patriots, I mean, look what the Patriots just did. They just traded Jamie Collins, a great linebacker,
to
the Browns for a third-round draft pick. I mean, like, we couldn't have used him, you know, a third-round draft pick for that guy. I mean, a pass rusher. I mean, he's a good pass rusher, too. I just don't. I mean, the Patriots, they do some. They do things. Even on, you know, they trade. They made like three trades already. And they're 7-1 or 6-1 right now. And that's why they're the team that they are, because they do things like that. And we sit on our hands when we know we need to make the team better, and we don't do anything. I just don't. I don't get it. I don't get our philosophy.
Charlie, hold on.
Hold on.
I appreciate your frustration, but again, Jerry Reese just told us, and I'm going to take him at face value, that the calls have been made. There have been conversations. So don't sit there and just say the Giants sit on their hands and don't do anything. That's inaccurate. We have Jerry telling us that conversations have taken place. Whether or not they bear fruit, that's another story. And you can be frustrated all you want if they don't make any trades. But you can't sit there unless you've been tapping the phone lines and tell me they haven't tried. You can't do that. That's not fair.
Well, I can say they haven't tried if they don't get it done. Because if you really want it to happen, you will get it done, just like the Pats get it done. I mean, you can pick up the phone and give some bogus offer that they know they're not going to take.
Charlie, let me ask you this.
They did that.
Let me ask you this. Let's try to be logical and reasonable about this. If a number two draft pick was going to pry Joe Thomas away from the Browns, then why hasn't somebody else made that trade? You just said it was a steal. So if it's a steal, if any team in the National Football League can give the Browns a number two for Joe Thomas, why has that not been made as of 1:19 this afternoon?
Because we have until 4 o'clock tomorrow to get it done. So if you got two or three teams ready to bid on this guy and they're willing to give it two, while the Browns might be saying they're going to give it two, but now I want a 2 and a 5 or I want a 2 and a 6. So this is what's going on right now.
That's
and
a good
I
answer.
The
I like
Giants
that.
Are in that conversation.
That's a good answer, Charlie, and I like your logic on that. That's a good comeback for me, because I got to give you credit for that one. At the same time, though, if the two was such a steal, though, I'm sure that somebody would have made the trade already within the last week or so, because, again, as you know, there's been an ebb and flow to the rumors about him being on the block. And,
yep.
And now it's back in again that he is on the block. So Let's see what happens.
Well,
Charlie, you know, it's possible, though.
Thing, Paul,
he may not get traded.
They wanted to wait until the Browns paid him for this week. It was like $448,000.
Yeah,
they
now,
wanted to get that out of the way.
Charlie, to be
so
fair.
Now I think something will happen.
And maybe. Now, if nothing happens, let me just give you a hypothetical.
Sure.
Let's say
yep.
Joe Thomas does not get traded to anybody by the 4 o'clock deadline tomorrow. You
yeah.
can't now you can't play the blame game, because that simply means the Browns decided that they weren't going to take a deal.
And sometimes teams put out feelers when they really don't necessarily have any interest in moving a guy. Maybe it's just to gauge the value. And the other thing to keep in mind here, remember, Joe Thomas is entering his 10th season in the National Football
League. He's 31.
Yeah, but it's his 10th season, though, okay?
He's a Pro Bowl player.
No, I'm not doubting his ability, but if you're going to give up a second-round pick, you also need to weigh. You give up the second-round pick, you're bringing in a veteran. You don't know necessarily how many more years he's going
to
play.
To be fair, Charlie, you're going to love me for this. To be fair, Joe Thomas yeah. probably has another good 5 years left in him.
He may.
There are offensive linemen who go to the Pro Bowl at 37,
yeah.
38 years old.
And there are, but I'm saying that to me can't be guaranteed in the National Football League.
Yeah,
you can't tell me that with
100%. He's got a good track record. He's very durable.
I don't disagree with that. But 10 seasons in the National Football League, the window starts to close.
Anyway.
Regardless of what position you're at.
All right, Charlie.
So him,
you
gotta
take that into consideration.
Eli and Joe Thomas go to the Hall of Fame together after 3 or 4 years with another Super Bowl. That would be great.
I got no problem with that, Charlie.
I don't think anybody would complain about that,
okay,
Charlie.
Guys.
All right,
thanks.
Charlie.
Be good.
Appreciate the phone call. But there's just a lot of things that need to be weighed, is what I'm saying, when you evaluate the pros and cons of making a trade and giving
totally
a draft.
Totally understand
picks.
That. Do understand that Joe Thomas is under contract for 2 more years after this year at $10 million a year, and he is a Pro Bowl player who right now is still in the prime of his career. I don't think that any team in the NFL could throw their nose up in the air and say Joe Thomas could not help us. I think that practically every team in the league would would be, if they were honest, they would tell you Joe Thomas could help make our offensive line better, except for maybe the Cowboys. But other than that, I think everybody would say Joe Thomas would be an asset to our team.
201-939-4513. That is the telephone number. Fred is in Parsippany. Fred, what's happening?
Yeah, a quick question. We're going to be able to bring one guy in off injured reserve. Assuming Will Johnson and Shane Vereen are both healthy and ready to come back, which one?
Johnson's ineligible.
Pardon?
He's ineligible. He's ineligible. Will Johnson cannot be brought back. He was put on IR before the 53, so he is done for the year. Shane Vereen's going to get that spot.
He'll likely get it, assuming that he has no setbacks.
Thank you.
You got it, Fred.
Sure.
Appreciate it. Thanks so much for weighing in.
That's that one component that they still have in their back pocket, especially on third down. Shane Vereen should be coming back and should be able to help this team for the final month of the season. The problem is, you still got to get there.
Of course, yeah. You need to make sure you take care of business in the games leading up to that. And in fairness, I mean, I think Bobby Rainey has proven he can be an effective third down weapon as a receiver out of the backfield. Now, Vereen is Vereen. He brings something a little bit different to the table, but I think Rainey has been one of the unsung heroes on offense who hasn't gotten enough credit for what he's done.
I do think it's interesting that Jerry Reese in his presser, and I think Giants.com will have that available online, so you can watch the whole thing if you wish. Jerry Reese did say they want to get Paul Perkins more chances. And I think that was interesting because we've had a lot of callers talk about him. We know about his talent. We know about his quicks. We know about him coming in late. We've talked about him a lot in the last month or so. Jerry Reese did say they'd like to get him on the field more. So perhaps during the self-scout, Perkins is going to be able to open up that playbook a little bit and maybe get some more touches and perhaps be part of the solution.
Well, and Ben McAdoo was asked a two-part question. It was with Perkins and Jarrell Adams, those two in particular, about whether or not they would expand their roles. And he started off saying, we've eased them in through special teams. We've been pleased. And now, obviously, with the final nine games, there could be more opportunities
on offense.
Sometimes
there's no time like the present.
And Perkins, if you notice the last few games, Paul, he's grown in terms of his role.
Oh, there's no doubt.
And the opportunities that it presented him. It's not as if he just came out of nowhere progressively. Going back to the Vikings game.
That's where it started.
Him in
with that screen pass.
Correct. Exactly. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. He's Paul Dottino. I'm Lance Meadow. Thanks so much for tuning in to Monday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. We are looking ahead to the Eagles, recapping what Ben McAdoo and Jerry Reese had to say during their pressers earlier today, and going over what the Giants need to work on coming out of the bye week. Let's head back to the lines. James is in Ecuador. James, what's happening?
Yeah, hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, you know, listen, you guys got two computers sitting in front of there, but you don't look at the tweets that you suggest that we do. You know, about 10 minutes ago, I told you that Joe Thomas isn't going anywhere. He's in Cleveland. He's going to stay in Cleveland. I saw the video yesterday from both his coach and he himself. He's going to stay with the rebuilding program, and that's it. I mean, you guys go on and talk about
James, in fairness, Paul, you gotta read, Dave, bring him down, please. First of all, Paul brought up the point that we don't know for sure whether or not he's going to be moved. And we talked about that in great detail, number one, James. And right now it is purely speculation. We've been reviewing the tweets. My apologies if we didn't get to exactly your tweet within the first 10 minutes of the program. But we are noticing the tweets and we're working them in throughout the course of the program. Joe Thomas right now is rumored to be on the trade block. There are no guarantees that he's going to be moved. We made that very clear. Charlie, the first caller, brought up a hypothetical in which he was moved. That's part of what sports talk is. Sometimes you bring up hypotheticals and things that don't come to fruition, and that's what we address. We weren't dedicating the whole show to it. We just brought it up for a fragment of the program. We'll let you continue, James.
Not a hypothetical. I watched him on television yesterday. I'm in Cleveland.
James, there are things that players, coaches, and everybody else says when they speak to the media, and then that doesn't always come to fruition. So you can only read into so much what players say. That's what we're saying. James, we made it clear that we never said that 100% certainty he's going to be traded. So I don't understand what your beef is on this program. We made that very clear. We did not say and guarantee anything that he's being moved other than having a conversation. I don't understand why this is a prevalent issue that you are continuing to pick at. We lost him.
By the way, Pat Kerwin, who in my mind has got to be one of the most respected NFL minds in the business today, he had tweeted out earlier yesterday four teams that need to call Cleveland today for left tackle Joe Thomas. His suggestions were Seattle, the Giants, Indianapolis, and Carolina. That was his tweet or his thinking in the possibility that Joe Thomas could be moved. So it's not something that people are plucking out of thin air. This is one of the most respected NFL minds in the business. And he was trying to narrow down the focus of maybe teams who would at least have a need or a desire to, or perhaps, you know, have the wherewithal to try to make a deal to pry the guy away.
Every single year at this time, there's always rumors and certain players that are being twirled around and their names are being thrown around. I mean, remember, the year the Giants acquired John Beeson, Paul, you know, Beeson's name was constantly being tossed out there. Would he be moved? Would Carolina keep him and so forth? A trade happened.
Funny thing is, not one of those rumors was about the Giants. And then all of a sudden,
and then they came in.
Oh, John Beeson's coming.
Well, and that's an example of what we're talking about with respect to Joe Thomas. Sometimes, yes, players are sprinkled out there and they don't get moved. And then other times, a team that is not even tied to that player winds up coming in and making a move. Remember, for example, I mean, who heard that the Patriots are going to trade Jamie Collins today, the Cleveland Browns? Did that come
out of left field?
So there you go. I mean, that's part of the trade deadline. That's part of doing business in the National Football League.
Indeed.
Let's head back to the phone lines. AJ is in South Carolina. AJ, what's happening?
Thanks for taking my call.
You got AJ.
I think the Giants probably going to get to the playoff as a wild card. I think the Cowboys probably going to win the NFC East right now. They can't lose right now.
Well, the Cowboys are certainly setting the tone. Ever since they lost to the Giants in week number one, you know, Dak Prescott has gradually improved. The running game is going, and I think their defense has played above expectations, and their turnover differential has really pulled to 180. But, you know, two games can be made up. We don't know what's going to happen. This is a parity type of league where sometimes you look at a schedule, you look at a head-to-head matchup, it looks as if the Cowboys are going to be the runaway winner. For example, they're going up against the Cleveland Browns this weekend. Now, I can understand Dallas is a heavily favored team, Paul, but I mean, this league, there's a lot of unknown. There's a lot of unpredictability.
There's no question. By the way, Adam Schefter just tweeted out something that may mean the Arizona Cardinals could be looking for a
left tackle
also.
Yeah.
Veldier needs surgery on a partially torn triceps, per source, says Adam Schefter, and that would put the Cardinals in need of a good left tackle if they are working the trade winds.
And perhaps you up your offer if you're in desperate need of a left tackle.
Just saying.
Circumstances.
And
things are very fluid.
Very fluid. Minute to minute, you just don't know.
Absolutely. What else you got, AJ?
One more thing. I hope the back of pass was hard to get, like, Doug and Peter Snell.
I think you were talking about the pass rush, AJ, if I heard you correctly. Is that your point?
Yeah, so back to get more snaps.
Well, you know, they weren't really asked about that, Ben McAdoo or Jerry Reese, about perhaps like moving in another defensive lineman to get some rotation. That didn't come up at all in the conversation.
Did not hear that
today,
at all,
Paul,
during the two pressers. No, that was not part of the conversation.
Thanks for taking my call.
All right, AJ, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in. I mean, we had brought up on previous programs, and a show that John and I did not too long ago, when you looked at the snaps, Paul, that defensive linemen had in terms of the rankings, JPP and Olivier Vernon were much ahead.
Both over 90%.
Yeah, much ahead of the rest of the pack. I mean, it's not even close, a huge disparity. So
yeah.
Spags was even asked about this right near the bye. Would there be a greater effort to try to get the double O's of the world, the Jay Bromleys of the world in to bring down the snaps of JPP and Olivier Vernon? And, you know, we have seen, I think it was, I forget which game it was, Paul, but the two of them came out, JPP and Vernon, early. It was like the second series
last
of the game.
Last week.
It was
two weeks ago.
Okay. I forgot which
two
game.
2 weeks ago.
And we did see Bromley get involved in double O and so forth. So they have gradually tried to work some of these other personnel.
I will say this. I don't know that there are many defensive linemen or defensive ends in the league who are actually in better condition or better shape than Vernon and JPP. And Vernon does his own sprints. Aside from everything that the Giants do, he takes the Giants' strength and conditioning coaches outside, and he does his own work regimen besides practice because he is so much in tune to getting his conditioning at its highest level. And JPP is often with him. So, if these guys are doing that kind of stuff, they're in their minds thinking, hey, 90% of the snaps is fine with us. You know, we're just going to keep going. And Jason's been saying as much. I mean, you've heard him talk about it in interviews. He's like, I'm going all out every time, and let him keep playing me. I'm not coming off the field. He doesn't want to come off.
If they're in well-conditioned type of situations where they feel they're comfortable going out on the field and not necessarily putting themselves and exposing themselves to injury, I mean, the player's got to have a good read on his own body. I always say that. But at the same time, I think Spags' system and how he's thrived as a defensive coordinator, Paul, is when he does rotate personnel.
He'd like to do that, but if Kerry Wynn and Oadigizua and Romeo Okwara, if in their limited snaps they're not going to be impactful, then why would you pull those other guys off the field?
You have to go with the stats, and you have to go with who's been productive. And there's no doubt that JPP and Vernon have been productive. It's just a matter of making sure that you have them in a good shape, in a good position come week 10, week 11, week 12, and so forth. You don't want to have a setback with any of those players. All right, let's head back to the phone lines. We got Dre in Atlanta. Dre, what's happening?
Hey, what's up, Lance? What's up, Pete? How's everything
going? Hi.
Doing well, Dre. What do you got for us?
What I did was I went back to last year's game. You know, the bye week is good for something, do a little research. And I looked at some of the route combinations from the wide receivers last year when we only had Odell and Ruben Randall. Now we have Sterling Shepard and Cruz. I think what we need to do is be more creative in the route structures in reference to the lineup, in reference to, you know, you got Cruz on the outside. We have the same set, you know, same 11 personnel every time we hit the field. So, and we only run the same route tree out of those sets. Now, we changed things around. We were real creative last year in reference to moving Beckham around and pretty much throwing our wide receivers open. You know, I think this year, this second half of the season, I think what we need to do is be a little bit more complex in reference to the route structure so the defensive backs can't sit on certain routes. You know, pretty much for the most part, they're in the same set, Cruz and Shepard on the same side, Beckham on the outside. Okay, these are the only two route combinations that they're going to do. So they can, you know, makes it a little bit easier.
Well, you're talking about the route combinations.
I'm gonna let
and the
you
personnel.
Take this.
I know that you have to get to
I'll
the
I'll see you guys.
Room. So we're going to bid farewell to Paul. I will hang around for a little bit to field more phone calls and more tweets. But, Dre, to stay on the topic that you brought up, just so that I'm clear, are you talking about the fact that they should get new personnel on the field, or you're talking about where they line up the wide receivers?
I'm talking about in reference to the different sets, of how they line up the wide receivers and the route in the route tree in these particular sets that they go into instead of doing the same, you know, hitch, slant, you know, corner route, dig. You put Cruz in the spot, put Beckham on the weak side, and then you put Shepard on the strong side. But then you run different routes out of those sets. If we can't do anything but run out of the 11 personnel, then we need to change the route tree that each wide receiver is running these sets to confuse the D-backs so they're not sitting on these routes. Because from what I saw first half of the season, every pass that was thrown was contested. Yeah, we need to make the 50-50 catch, but if we could, you know, run different routes and keep the defense guessing, then we wouldn't have to worry about the 50-50 routes because we'll, for the most part, we'll have the 60-40 or the 70-30 chance to make the catch because we're open.
Well, the good news about the personnel, even if they stick with the three wide receiver sets, is, you know, they can move those players around, and most of those wide receivers can run various routes. So what you're throwing out there, I don't think is necessarily impossible, Dre. And, you know, Ben McAdoo has said that was one of the things they were going to look at during the course of the bye week, whether or not they need to move players around, whether or not they need to bring in new personnel in to vary the sets. It's something that they were going to take into consideration. I would not expect various changes or, you know, big-time changes because they've said to themselves that – if we feel our three best players are Beckham, Cruz, and Shepard, and it's hard to argue against that, Dre, then why take them off the field? That's at least the rationale. And I don't necessarily disagree with that rationale. If those are our three best playmakers, why would we want to take them off the field for X amount of plays? So that's why you see them on the field.
That's not my point, man.
Correct. No,
what I'm saying,
your point is you're talking about having
– you can keep those three on the field. What I'm saying is change the routes that they're running.
And I understand where you're coming from, but once again, it all depends on what they're seeing with the opposing defense and whether or not they feel, you know, if Cruz has got a good matchup in the slot, we're going to leave him in the slot. If we feel that we can move him to the outside because he has a better matchup with the corner, then so be it. I don't think there's a blueprint where it says, you know, we have to now move Cruz to the outside spot as opposed to the slot spot. It's going to be dependent on what the Eagles corners present, what the Bengals corners present, what the Bears corners present. Everything's going to vary based on the opposition. That's what really it's going to come down to.
Hunch, man, I'm just going off of the fact that Cruz only played, you know, like 2% in the slot. I only seen him in the slot once.
Well, that's because Shepard has mainly taken all of those snaps in the slot. I mean,
right.
that's the
what
answer.
I'm saying. Just switch everything around and keep the, you know, because that's what we did with Beckham last year. We didn't, you know, we had him in the slot, we had him outside, we had him moving around. We pretty much moved him around for the best matchup. And I think we could do the same thing with all three wide receivers to make them a lot better than what they are.
I think that's certainly feasible, and appreciate the phone call, Dre. I don't think what he threw out was a stretch in terms of maybe mixing and matching personnel. But like I said, a lot is going to depend on what the opposition presents. You look at the Philadelphia Eagles and how their safeties play and how their corners play. And if you did watch that Cowboys game last night, I mean, this is going to be a big test for the Giants offensive line and the Giants running backs, because what Jim Schwartz does as a defensive coordinator, he will bring a blitz from every different angle of the field. It makes no difference. He'll move a corner down on the right side. He'll move a corner down on the left side. I mean, they were attacking Dak Prescott from every angle of the field. He doesn't necessarily just stack the defensive line to one side and so forth. So that's something that, you know, the Giants are going to have to take into consideration if they feel that based on what the Eagles personnel presents, we want to keep our guys in those similar spots, then that's what they're going to do. Then the following week, the Bengals are going to do things differently, depending on what Paul Gunther, their defensive coordinator, presents. So, I mean, I don't really think there's one basic rule of thumb where, you know, you look at the first seven games and you say, oh, well, if the Giants tinkered with where they line up the wide receivers, perhaps that will bring better offensive success. A lot of it is dictated by matchups. They're going to have to see, you know, what the opposition is all about. So, I mean, that's something that at least needs to be taken into consideration. And Shepard's been very effective out of the slot, too. If you look at, you know, the games where he was heavily involved, he was running a lot of his routes out of the slot, and Eli Manning was getting him off of slants and so forth where he could get out into open space. So how they present the wide receivers to get out into open space, where the defensive backs are lined up, you know, that's going to dictate where receivers are going to be placed on the line of scrimmage, as opposed to, well, let's just shake things up for the sake of shaking things up. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. Let's try to field a few more calls before we wrap things up here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. We got Matt in East Islip. Matt, what's happening?
Hey, Lance. What's going on?
I'm doing well, Matt. How's things with you?
Good, good. Sorry, I had to take you off speaker. So I have a couple of positives, I guess, I wanted to talk about. I think that people may overlook in the run game. I know that sounds absolutely crazy, and trust me, I agree. I think the run game has been atrocious. But I think if we look at this Eagles game coming up, just this one game, if you look at, I don't know if you have Pro Football Focus, like the grades in front of you, but just based off that, and I know I don't want to get too into that either, but the way Justin Pugh is playing this year against, I think it's Bo Allen. I think that's his first name on the Eagles. He I think, is going to have a big game. And we said John Jerry, 18th ranked guard in NFL, has had a great year. Of course, Justin Pugh, the number one rated guard in the NFL. And Richburg, yes, he struggled. Some people say he may be hurt a little bit. But if he plays to where we all know he can play, and the two guards on the inside can play, I think up front they can really push that defensive line of the Eagles, just like the Cowboys did last night. So, I mean, that's just a little take I have on that.
Well, but believe it or not, Ezekiel Elliott, he wasn't necessarily thriving on the ground. He had that big 60-plus yard run that was brought back because of a holding call on Travis Frederick, their starting center. But if you look at throughout the course of the game, I mean, it was a grind even for the Cowboys to run the football against the Eagles. And if the Giants are not necessarily putting up the same yardage that the Cowboys are, because Dallas entering yesterday was number one in the league, I mean, I don't know if it's going to be so easy. I think pass protection, the Giants are in a good position to handle perhaps the blitzes that Jim Schwartz is going to bring to the table. But Philadelphia, I thought, actually contained Ezekiel Elliott for the majority of that game, Matt. So I don't know necessarily if it's an extremely attractive matchup based on what Philly was able to do against that Dallas offensive line.
Yeah, I think, I mean, if you look at, like, Brandon Graham, for example, he honestly, on the pass rush, he kind of had towards the end of the game, too, he was destroying Doug Free. And I understand Doug Free is the weak link on that offensive line. But, you know, I'm not sitting here saying I disagree with you in that aspect. I just think that pass protection-wise, I think Bobby Hart could struggle against Brandon Graham because he is a lot quicker and he's got insane strength. I liked him when the Giants almost signed him, I think, 2 years ago now. I still like him as a player. I know he's on the Eagles, but still. And I think, you know, I do think, though, if you look at, like, Dak Prescott, I think it was a 4th-and-1. They had that it was a QB sneak, and it basically was a rugby scrum up in the middle. If you get that, and I know you can't do that, obviously, all the time, but if you get that real power run game in the middle of that Eagles defense, I do think that they can run the ball. They did it against the Cowboys again. I know, like Charlie said, second, third string defensive line. But they ran that power offense. You know, that's what everyone's looking for. Of course, they don't have the fullback, so that's a problem. But they need to get back to the power because the shotgun runs, like we all know, are way too predictable and they're way too delayed and just drawn out. So that's just my view on it from optimist.
Well, it's funny that you brought up the short yardage runs. I mean, forget about what formation the Giants utilize. Short yardage runs in general, Matt, have been an issue, whether it be in the red zone, whether it be, you know, middle of the field. So no matter what formation they use, they have to be more effective in running the ball in those short yardage situations, the 3rd-and-1s, the 4th-and-1s, because how many times have we seen actually the Giants just determine we're going to throw the ball? And if they had that power running game, I think you're a little bit more balanced, a little bit more unpredictable based on what you're presenting for the defense. So, I mean, I agree with you. I think that needs to improve. Whether or not, though, it's going to flourish against the Eagles remains to be seen. And appreciate the phone call, Matt. Thanks so much for chiming in. Philadelphia, I thought, did a really nice job against the Cowboys in terms of containing Ezekiel Elliott and forcing Prescott to have to make plays through the air last night. I mean, that was a key for any team that goes up against Dallas. You know, you want to take Ezekiel Elliott out of the equation. And that's what the Eagles did for the majority of the contest. Then Prescott started airing it out. He got Dez Bryant involved on that last drive. Cole Beasley, Jason Witten caught the touchdown. They started to spread the wealth. But, you know, Elliott wasn't necessarily doing a lot of the heavy lifting. And if the Cowboys have been successful on the ground, and they didn't have much success against the Eagles, whereas the Giants are coming in very up and down with the run, you know, you wonder whether or not this is going to be necessarily that breakout game. I don't know if that looks favorably, at least on paper, when you break it down from that standpoint. I'm bringing up the numbers from the game last night. Elliott wound up, he did get 96 yards, took him 22 carries, and he finished with just over 4 yards per carry. But if you watch the majority of the game and not necessarily the final numbers, I mean, it was a grind for the Cowboys to try to establish the run. They were having trouble against a Philadelphia front seven. Remember, that was the strength of the team last year. It was the secondary for the Eagles that was erratic and up and down. And they addressed the secondary this offseason, brought in some new faces. They brought in Rodney McLeod to play safety next to Malcolm Jenkins, brought in a few new corners. So it's a different look defense, and it's also a new scheme because Jim Schwartz was not the defensive coordinator there last year. So I don't know how many comparisons you could draw from, you know, Eagles games of the past and how the Giants have fared and so forth. The one thing you can take away, if you look at the final scores, the Eagles have had the Giants' number. That's why this is a big game. It's a big game in terms of finally getting over the hump against the Eagles, and it goes without saying it's a divisional game coming off the bye, and you want to be able to stay within the hunt of the Cowboys and give yourself an edge over the Eagles. So from every standpoint, you know, this game is big, no matter what angle you look it at. But once again, I still think this is an Eagles defense that poses a lot of challenges, whether it be in stopping the run and getting to the quarterback. And it can't be a defense that you just all of a sudden look over and take lightly, because the Eagles defense has wreaked havoc. Remember, this is a defense that held the Pittsburgh Steelers to just 3 points. You could hold the Pittsburgh Steelers to 3 points, you're doing something effectively. And that was a game where Ben Roethlisberger was playing. That was a game where they had Antonio Brown. It wasn't as if Pittsburgh was banged up for that game. And the Eagles' defense contained them. And they did the same thing pretty much to Prescott until they heated up in the fourth quarter, were able to capitalize off of some turnovers. You know, it goes without saying, ball security has to be priority number one against an Eagles team that's very opportunistic and very good in special teams. You know, that's one thing that I think is going to get a lot of play this week. How the Giants special teams matches up with the Eagles special teams. Eagles, they've had some special teams touchdowns already this season. They've had a number over the last few years. Josh Huff is a great return guy. They have Darren Sproles. If you watched the game last night, they've been using him as a running back a little bit more. Many more snaps than what Ryan Matthews is getting. So, you know, this Eagles team is very tricky in terms of some of the challenges that they present. But wouldn't surprise me if special teams is going to dictate a game like this, where a key return, a turnover on special teams could very well be the difference. The Eagles, as much as I've pointed to the fact that they have played some lopsided affairs, they've also been involved in a number of tight affairs. And the Giants, they've had plenty of experience in those tight affairs, where the little things can help you or the little things can come back to bite you. The Eagles this season, last few games, Lions 24-23 they lost, the Redskins 27-20, then the Vikings game, they were up comfortably for the most part, and then they just played the Cowboys in a game in overtime. So three of their last four games for the Eagles have been decided by a touchdown or less. They're pretty much in the same boat as the Giants, where a number of these games have come down to the wire. And that really shouldn't surprise anybody, considering, you know, all of these games across the NFL landscape in recent weeks that we've seen that have been so close and so forth. Before we wrap up the show, I want to take a look at Twitter. I know a number of people who haven't been able to get to the phones wanting to chime in via Twitter, and then we will wrap up the program. If you still want to get involved on the lines, we'll see if we can maybe squeeze in a caller or two at 201-939-4513, but I do want to get anybody who is weighing in on Twitter involved too, because we know some of you may not be in the vicinity of a phone but want to make your voice heard. So let me peruse Twitter here, check out what people are talking about and so forth about what the Giants and the Eagles matchup will look like. At Gruen Ben, Eagles defensive line has owned our offensive line for years. Well, we mentioned that the trend has gone in favor of Philadelphia in the last few matchups, in the front seven specifically, but it hasn't been so much the Eagles taking away the run game. It's been them getting to the quarterback. If you go back to the last few contests, they've been very effective in getting to Eli Manning with that pass rush, and Jim Schwartz was not the defensive coordinator. Now Jim Schwartz is the defensive coordinator who loves the blitz and is willing to sacrifice the run. Pass protection needs to pick up where it left off prior to the bye. I mean, that's a given, no matter the situation, but specifically against the Eagles. Now, that's obviously going to be a big key. Let's see. E, the chosen one. At E underscore the chosen one. This Eagles game will tell us who we are and what we are made of. We will be completely healthy. There are no excuses. Well, that is one thing that Paul and I talked about off the top of the show. The team seems to be as close to 100% health-wise than it's been in the last few weeks. And if you could get Darian Thompson, Nat Burhey back, so you have your full complements of safeties, Eli Apple, DRC getting back to full health. Newhouse, we'll see whether or not he makes progress, but Bobby Hart's been playing well. They get their full secondary back. You know, this is an Eagles team, keep in mind. Carson Wentz has not taken a lot of chances down the field. They've pretty much focused on those short passes, those intermediate routes, specifically against the Cowboys game. So they like to get into those second and third manageable downs. They're not necessarily looking for the home run. The Eagles have also hurt themselves with a lot of drop passes this season. So the Eagles' wide receivers have actually done more damage against themselves than necessarily the opposing defensive backs. But the point is, this is a game where if you fundamentally tackle well and you keep the opposition in front of you, you should at least keep this game within striking distance, because Philadelphia, just look over their big plays. They've actually had more big plays on special teams than necessarily on offense. Carson Wentz is not looking for the home run. And that's obviously something that I'm sure the Giants are going to pick up as they look at film and so forth. As I peruse through more of the tweets here, Matt at JM, J Big Matt, speculation about the trade deadline. What do you think about Gary Barnage for a day three pick to Cleveland, or the same to the Jags for Mercedes Lewis, referring to some tight ends? You're going to hear a lot of names over the next few hours who are going to be on the trade wire. It doesn't necessarily mean that anything's going to come to fruition. I will mention this. Jerry Reese was asked about the tight end position earlier today when he spoke to the media, and he made it apparent that he seems to be pretty content with the current group, because the question, I believe, it was one of the last questions on the presser, and we'll have the full presser up on Giants.com in a little bit, and he was asked about, is there any regret about putting Will Johnson on IR? And Jerry Reese mentioned they're not looking back, they're looking forward, and he said that the group of tight ends that we have, it's time for them to step up and be more consistent. So the indication and the focus had been to develop the guys currently on the roster, as opposed to go outside and try to acquire a bigger name tight end and so forth. And I've said this time and time again, if you look at this organization's track record, the Giants have, at the tight end position, taken chances on low-risk free agent tight ends, guys who have been backups and just haven't had the opportunity to spread their wings, such as a Martellus Bennett, and then they've given them more of an opportunity to flourish, or undrafted players, and then they groom them, such as the Jake Ballards of the world, such as the Kevin Bosses of the world, and so forth. That's been the track record, much more so than going out on the trade market and acquiring a Gary Barnage or a Mercedes Lewis. So, I mean, in my opinion, I would say it's unlikely. As Ben McAdoo always says, you never say never, and I'm sure the Giants are always looking at their options, but I think they're looking at their internal options at the tight end position and hoping that that group grows and maybe giving Jarrell Adams a little bit bigger role as opposed to making a big splash at that position with respect to the trade deadline. And I think that if you read into what Jerry Reese and Ben McAdoo had to say, that seems to be at least the philosophy moving forward for the second half of the season. So those seem to be all the key tweets on a variety of topics. You can continue to send in your tweets while we're off the air. We'll do our best to obviously address that and so forth. Big Blue Kickoff Live back each and every weekday this week. Today we had a different change because of the media availabilities, but tomorrow we'll be back up and running again at noon Eastern. So from noon to 1, you can catch the program live, and the archives are always put up a little bit later on Giants.com. We certainly appreciate everybody for tuning in, all of those who weighed in via the phone lines, as well as on Twitter using hashtag Giants Chat. Ben McAdoo's presser, Jerry Reese's presser, as well as some of the player reaction in the locker room, all will be posted up on Giants.com by the end of the day. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. We'll speak to you Tuesday right here on Giants.com.